The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Order, please. Just before we begin, the Honorable
Minister of Agriculture, Aquaculture.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce my constituency assistant, Carol Perkins, and her grandson, who is visiting here from Calgary, Ryan Perkins as well. And I'd ask them to both rise and receive a warm welcome from the House.
We'll now proceed to oral members put by members to ministers. The time is now 10:49. We'll conclude at 11:39. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if there is one thing that we count on the government to get right in its budget, it is to protect the jobs of Nova Scotians. And we got a big reminder of that this morning because the latest job report shows that in the last month, 5,800 full-time jobs have disappeared here in the province of Nova Scotia. And Mr. Speaker, in this government, this government made a huge error. They have put at risk 2,000 jobs in our film and creative industries by the changes they have made to the film tax credit. These are jobs of young, talented Nova Scotians. I can tell you right now, Mr. Speaker, this will be a bigger mistake than the cancellation of the Blue Nose Ferry and the jobs that went with it. The Yarmouth Ferry, Mr. Speaker. We'll talk about the Blue Nose another time. The Yarmouth Ferry. As big a mistake as the Yarmouth Ferry, Mr. Speaker. So ask the Premier, will he admit today that his government has made a big mistake that's going to cost jobs? Or will he tell us why he wants to put 2,000 jobs for young Nova Scotians at risk?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I want to inform all members of this House. Yesterday's budget was about moving this province forward in a new direction. Mr. Speaker, it was about engaging and providing an opportunity for the private sector to create these jobs, Mr. Speaker. It was a challenging day. We said all along, Mr. Speaker, all Nova Scotians are going to have to be part of this solution, Mr. Speaker, and when that's the case, Mr. Speaker, all Nova Scotians will be able to benefit from the results.
Now I'm a leader of the official opposition on his first supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, this is a huge mistake. It is going to cost 2,000 people their jobs. Mr. Speaker, just overnight, we are getting reports of real jobs being killed, real productions being canceled. And Mr. Speaker, these are young Nova Scotians, and some of them are in the gallery today from the community college. I'll give you one example. Kimmy Duell is here. She's a makeup artist. She's already had two jobs canceled. This is not rhetoric, Mr. Speaker. These are real people with real jobs, and they deserve better than what they got from this government yesterday, Mr. Speaker. What does the Premier have to say to people like Kim Duell and the 2,000 other young, talented Nova Scotians whose jobs are now at risk?
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question, Mr. Speaker. The film tax credit is still in place in this province, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, 25% of that credit, Mr. Speaker, is given directly to the producer, Mr. Speaker, to take to the bank to help finance it. The other 75% is a true tax credit, which goes against the taxes you pay in Nova Scotia. Why is it unreasonable for the Leader of the Opposition to believe that when you receive a tax credit, it should be applied against the taxes that you pay in this province?
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, we all heard that explanation yesterday. It's what is unreasonable is to ask 2,000 people who work in our film and creative industry, the very young people we need more of here in the province of Nova Scotia, to watch their jobs go because the Premier, the Minister of Finance, and the government do not understand the effect of what they have done. We need more jobs, not less jobs. And bizarrely, Mr. Speaker, for a government that loves to consult on anything, they had no consultation or very little consultation with the industry that's now reeling today. So will the Premier, if he won't admit that this is just a big error, will he at least agree to meet with the industry and fix the mess they've now created?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to again remind the Honourable Member, Mr. Speaker, they constantly ask for change, Mr. Speaker. We recognized yesterday there were very difficult challenges for some Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker. You know, the reality is, Mr. Speaker, some people who work in government lost their jobs yesterday entirely. They went home, Mr. Speaker, because we had to restructure government. Do you think those decisions were taken lightly? Do you think any member on this side of the House finds joy in the fact, Mr. Speaker? But the reality of it is we are on an unsustainable path, and it has to change. The reality of it is the film tax credit, Mr. Speaker, was not a tax credit. It was directly giving out the door. What we're now saying, Mr. Speaker, is apply this as a true tax credit. And as the Minister of Finance has said, there's also now a $6 million creative fund, Mr. Speaker, for the creative economy, which publishers, recording artists, Mr. Speaker, and yes, the film industry can take advantage of.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, as we know, yesterday's budget has left Nova Scotians in the screen industry reeling and in panic mode, Mr. Speaker. Today we learned this hour has 22 minutes, a show in its 23rd season, Canada's longest-running comedy produced entirely here in Nova Scotia, is leaving the province due to this government's misguided budget. Mr. Speaker, the studio that produces 22 minutes, DHX Media, has decided to close its doors, throwing 155 people out of work. Mr. Speaker, can the Premier explain to all of those people at DHX and throughout the province's film industry why he thinks they're not worth investing in?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I completely disagree with the Leader of the New Democratic Party's entire question and the premise she put around it, Mr. Speaker. Of course we believe, Mr. Speaker, that the industry is worth investing in. Mr. Speaker, it's why we didn't get rid of the film tax credit, Mr. Speaker. What we changed, Mr. Speaker, was the fact that you applied it against the taxes you paid in this province. Mr. Speaker, they stand on that side of the House time after time asking us to invest more in health care, more in education, looking after most vulnerable Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker. And we believe we have a responsibility to do that as a government, Mr. Speaker. But in order to do that, Mr. Speaker, if we're going to use taxpayers' money, it should be applied against taxes paid in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her first supplementary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, in 2013, this Premier seduced the creative sector into voting for him by promising to extend the media tax credit for an additional five-year period. And well, Mr. Speaker, the film industry is feeling a little jilted today, Mr. Speaker, because this Premier has decided to cut the tax, leaving 2,000 people in jeopardy, Mr. Speaker. So can the Premier please explain to those who are feeling betrayed why he failed to mention in his campaign promise to extend the tax credit that he also intended to gut it?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to remind the Honourable Member we did not cut the tax credit, Mr. Speaker. What we've done, Mr. Speaker, is we made it a true tax credit where you apply it against the taxes you pay in the province of Nova Scotia. On top of that, Mr. Speaker, we broadened a fund made available to the creative economy, Mr. Speaker, from recording artists to publishers, Mr. Speaker. Those are all positive things. We're looking forward to continuing to work with the creative economy to continue to move this province forward.
The Honourable Leader of the New Democratic Party on her final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I don't think the Premier really understands how the credit worked and why it was so important to the industry and what a tool it was in order to raise capital for their productions, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, the chair of Screen Nova Scotia said, a program that once made Nova Scotia competitive with all of North America is now puts us at the bottom of the list. Mr. Speaker, I want to ask the Premier, what analysis did he and his Minister of Finance have that justified taking away this industry's competitive edge? And would he table it, please?
The Honourable Premier.
Because the reality of it is, Mr. Speaker, as the credit was going up, we were actually getting less and less of the national business, Mr. Speaker. The reality is we were paying more and getting less business in the province as a percentage of what was happening in Canada. The reality of it is, Mr. Speaker, in order to deliver services to the people of this province, tough decisions have to be made. We are, Mr. Speaker, we're continuing to work with people who are going to move this province forward. The credit is available as it was the day before, and it'll apply directly against the taxes you pay in the province.
Order, please. I'd like to remind the Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River that if she has a question, her turn will come, and we'll try to keep it in a little civil tone here. The Honourable Leader for the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker, this government isn't the only one that tried to cut the film tax credit and then see the devastating results that happen for young people and the jobs that it creates. Saskatchewan tried the same thing in 2012. 1,200 people worked in the film tax industry at the time. Now, a few years later, less than 50, Mr. Speaker, which led the Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce to say that the decision to cut the tax credit in the same manner that it's being cut here affected real people and real businesses who were committed to growing the film sector, and their businesses were shattered, Mr. Speaker. Well, we need jobs even more than they do in Saskatchewan. So I ask the Premier, in a province where jobs are so scarce, how is putting 2,000 jobs at risk in any way moving the province forward?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I'm very pleased, Mr. Speaker, to tell all members of this House that we finally have a government in this province that is engaging with the private sector to grow jobs in this province. The reality of it is, Mr. Speaker, in order to change, Mr. Speaker, it will affect people. We recognize that. We've recognized that, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday was a difficult time for Nova Scotians. Some Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker, paid a greater impact than others. But in order for us to change this province and move it forward, we have to change the way we're doing business. And a tax credit, Mr. Speaker, is applied against the taxes you pay, not, Mr. Speaker, a non-forgivable loan or a direct grant, Mr. Speaker. A tax credit is applied against the taxes you pay in this province.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the whole point is about the effect of what they've done, not the formula. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Speaker, they're difficult times, but after yesterday, we finally have an answer from the government about difficult for who. If you're a young person wanting to go to university, it's difficult for you. If you have a seasonal job in one of our rural parks, it's difficult for you. If you're going to the community college to take tech courses, Mr. Speaker, it's difficult for you. And if you work as one of the 2,000 people in this industry, well, your job is now at risk, Mr. Speaker. There is nothing wrong with saying we made a mistake and we're willing to fix it and we're willing to sit down with industry and extend their deadline to the end of the year and give them a chance to come back with something that works. Will the Premier at least agree to do that?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday was a day, Mr. Speaker, when we invested in young Nova Scotians and public education, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday was a day that we protected Nova Scotia students when it comes to post-secondary institutions and allowing to keep the quality of post-secondary education as high as it is in this province, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday was a day, Mr. Speaker, that we had to make difficult decisions that we know are affecting Nova Scotians, Mr. Speaker. Some are, yes, are paying a higher price than others. But, Mr. Speaker, this is about moving forward in the future, and a tax credit, Mr. Speaker, is applied against the taxes you pay in this province so that we can afford to deliver health care, provide more job opportunities, Mr. Speaker, and making sure that this province is moving in the right direction.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
The film, television, and animation industry were devastated by yesterday's budget cut of the film tax credit. I have to believe that the government is doing this out of ignorance and not malice. So I want to tell you about production companies with projects that are on hold or effectively lost because of the changes. Ocean Entertainment, Big Motion Pictures, Magic Rock Productions, Top Sail Entertainment, and DHX Media are all affected and looking to shoot elsewhere. Question to the Premier. Why does the Premier seem so intent on being known as a man who killed an entire industry?
I'd like to remind the Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's that ignorance is an unparliamentary term, so I'll ask her to rise and please retract that term.
I'm sorry, I called the Premier ignorance.
Thank you. The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, Mr. Speaker, I want to say to all members of this House that the film tax credit is still in place in this province, Mr. Speaker. It is one that you will receive. 25% of it is the same as it always was, Mr. Speaker. The other 75% is being applied directly against the taxes you pay in this province. I also want to remind the House that we've broadened the opportunity, Mr. Speaker, in the creative economy when it comes to sound recording, when it comes to publishers, Mr. Speaker. We're actually broadening the opportunity to drive the creative economy. All we're suggesting, Mr. Speaker, is that if you're receiving money from the people of the province of Nova Scotia in a tax credit form, you should apply it against the taxes you pay in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Big Motion Pictures Limited, a 20-year employer of Nova Scotia, best film technicians. It's already looking for alternate locations for their 2015 production slate. Their president, David McLeod, said yesterday, "We are forced to explore options for company headquarters for 2016 and beyond." I'll table that. Grits Kill DHX in Halifax. I have to wonder what the MLA for Lunenburg had to say to the Premier about the film tax credit. After all, Big Motion Pictures produces the TV series Haven, which has done so, so much for the county of Lunenburg. Can the Premier tell us if the MLA for Lunenburg has expressed concerns about Haven stopping production, or is she in favour of the film tax credit cut?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. It gives me an opportunity to tell all members of this House how proud I am of the great work being done by the member from Lunenburg, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, not only on this file, but on every file that her constituents bring to her office, Mr. Speaker, she continues to represent them in a classy, professional way in this House, Mr. Speaker. And the answer to the question is, Mr. Speaker, the member from Lunenburg, like all members on this side of the House, is looking to move this province forward, and we're doing it in a way that is fair and that is balanced, Mr. Speaker, and we're looking forward to continuing to work with Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question today is for the minister responsible for Service Nova Scotia. Freedom of information request obtained by the PC caucus shows that in the last fiscal year, courier charges at Service Nova Scotia cost taxpayers $222,539. Over $220,000. Sure seems like a lot of money to me, Mr. Speaker, but Mr. Speaker, it's also an average of more than $338 for each item sent by a courier, and $338 per courier is very expensive. So my question for the minister is, how can the minister justify this amount to Nova Scotians who will certainly be feeling the pain of yesterday's budget?
The Honourable Minister of Service, Nova Scotia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the Honourable Member from across the floor for the question. The reality is, Mr. Speaker, that continued services in government require some outside sourcing to support government's activities, no different than the governments that have preceded us. Within the department, we continue to find efficiencies and savings wherever possible, and I want to assure the member opposite we'll continue with that objective.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do appreciate the response. I can tell you that when I was in business, we sent many courier packages out, and very rarely did they cost anywhere near $338 per courier. And in the face of yesterday was a tough day for many Nova Scotians who lost their jobs in the film industry and in the civil service. And many others know this budget will make life harder and more expensive for them. The average Nova Scotian salary is under $43,000. That means courier charges at Service Nova Scotia are roughly equivalent to five jobs. So my question is, what does the minister say To all those people that lost their jobs yesterday or are facing a reduction in services, knowing now that one department spent this much on courier charges.
The Honourable Minister of Service, Nova Scotia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to share with all Nova Scotians, we're very much aware of the impact of job losses that the member refers to. And I want to assure the minister or the member that I too hear and feel the impact of government's decision as we try to restructure and find efficiencies for the province so that we can sustain services and continue to support both our population and our economy as we go forward.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, yesterday's budget sent a clear message to current and future university students in this province. The government told students if they want to go to school here, they better pay up. By looking the other way and allowing universities to hike tuition fees with no limits by the government, we are intentionally pushing students away. While in opposition, the Minister of Labour and Advanced Education referred to removing the cap on tuition as a handicap for recruitment and said it was a sure way to price ourselves out of the game. And I have that article here, Mr. Speaker. My question to the Minister of Labour and Advanced Education is, why is the Minister allowing universities to price themselves out of the game?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question, and I do know that yesterday was a tough day for students to hear. Over the past number of years, students have seen a 3% increase in their tuitions, and for the most part, that will continue in the future. I would prefer, Mr. Speaker, that we were not in this particular place right now and that we find ourselves in the position where we have to raise tuitions, and I imagine it's much the same way that the Leader of the Opposition felt when he voted to raise tuitions at Dalhousie.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, we are constantly losing young people to other provinces due to their lack of employment opportunities. The government has no plans to keep young Nova Scotians here. The Ivory Report is a roadmap on how to make our province viable for future generations. After the news broke of the tuition free-for-all, students and young people posted all over social media about moving away because of the bleak future here. A common message on social media was the government finally answered the now or never question of the Ivory Report. The answer was never. So my question to the minister is, why did the minister reverse her position on tuition hikes? And is she really willing to let our province lose more young people as a result of this?
The Honourable Minister of Labour and Advanced Education.
I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question, and I want to welcome the opportunity to actually speak about what we're doing for our young people in this province. Just a couple of months ago, my colleague, the former Minister of Economic and Rural Development and Tourism, announced the Graduate to Opportunity program, which will help young people get that crucial first-time job. Once they complete their studies, Mr. Speaker, what we heard from students was that, in fact, the reason why they will stay in the province is if they have a job to go to. And that's just one of the programs, Mr. Speaker, that we're investing in. Co-op opportunities, summer jobs programs. We also have a variety of student supports for our young people, Mr. Speaker. And in a really tough budget year, we maintain those for Nova Scotia students.
The Honourable Member for Hants West.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question will be for the Minister of Health. Mr. Speaker, as all in this House would know, over the course of many years, there have been great debate on long-term care, wait lists, new beds, not new beds, new plans, maybe not new plans. I wonder, could the Minister answer today, does he know how many Nova Scotians actually reside currently in long-term care facilities in the province?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and the number of Nova Scotians in long-term care beds, about 7,500 Nova Scotians. That's in those that receive a per diem from the province. And of course, we all know that there are additional private homes in the province. And I think the member opposite will be very pleased with the new direction that we will put in place around making sure those at high risk and need get in first.
The Honourable Member for Hants West on his final supplementary.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for that answer. Something we haven't heard, I don't think, before, or I haven't in this House, is actually how many beds and how many people are actually residing in those homes, and I understand, I don't know what the number would be on the private side, but probably quite a few more. Given that, one of the biggest issues, of course, we know how those bids turn over. Unfortunately, somebody passes away, the bid becomes vacant. One of the issues around entrance is the time it takes to gain access, and obviously there's a process that must be gone through and clearing out and so on. Can the minister also maybe today just clarify, there's a release that he done some time back, talked about the number of days. Is there an accurate number of days that it takes to enter? What's the wait time, the true wait time for someone on the list waiting to get in to a long-term care facility?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. A couple of parts to that question. First of all, the timeline for somebody to get in a bed that has become vacant can be anywhere from 6 to, unfortunately, about 20, 21 days, and that's why our new policy will work on 6-7 days, get about a week to make sure that somebody now has moved in. In fact, one of the nursing homes in the member opposite's area had a cumulative of one full year of vacant days in the home. So we know that's another one of those areas where we are committed to make a big improvement.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Michael Donovan of DHX Media has said, "This is destruction. This is assassination of the film industry in Nova Scotia. They have made a decision to kill it." He said this to All Nova Scotia yesterday. This founder and executive chairman of the successful children's animation powerhouse says that the finance minister, her changes to the film tax credit will make it impossible to raise financing, something that the department doesn't seem to understand. And one thing that I noticed, Mr. Speaker, that the Premier doesn't seem to understand is that 75% of non-refundable tax credit, you cannot take that to the bank. It's only the 25% that actually makes a difference. That's why the industry is moving. So my question, Mr. Speaker, is what does the Premier actually have to say to the fact that DHX Media President Michael Donovan will have to now close his 155-person animation studio?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. And what I said very clearly in response to the leader of the Conservative Party was that the 25%, Mr. Speaker, could be taken to the bank to use as leverage, Mr. Speaker, to raise capital to continue to move forward, to allow DHX or any other film to move forward, Mr. Speaker. The reality of it is, Mr. Speaker, that 75% of it will be applied against the taxes. I'm sure Mr. Donovan enjoys using the health care system in Nova Scotia. I'm sure he enjoys public education. I'm sure he enjoys doing all of the other services in Nova Scotians apply. And, Mr. Speaker, we're giving him a very generous tax credit against the taxes he pays in Nova Scotia.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Again, what the Premier doesn't seem to understand is that the money that these producers get actually goes to the labour. So they're paying for the labour out of the money that they get, the investments that they get. And they need the money from the banks to be able to ensure their productions. And without a heftier tax credit, they're not going to be able to compete with Ontario and Montreal and British Columbia. That's the problem. So, Mr. Speaker, DHX President Michael Donovan has also quoted in All Nova Scotia as saying every single show, Trailer Park Boys, 22 minutes, all the others, will have to leave the province. Mr. Speaker, the Trailer Park Boys production...
Does the member have a question?
Mr. Speaker, the Trailer Park Boys production has done so much for the economy of Colchester County.
Time allotted for the member's question has expired. We'll now move on to the member for Pictou East.
Mr. Speaker, my question today is for the Minister of Energy. This year's budget shows that petroleum royalties are more than half of what they were last year. This is the lowest amount the province has received from our offshore oil and gas royalties in more than a decade. So it's obvious that our offshore oil production is in decline and our offshore natural gas supplies are dwindling. So my question for the minister is, when does the minister expect a new supply of natural gas to come online.
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Mr. Speaker, as I've previously indicated to the House, Shell will be undertaking its drilling program this summer, and British Petroleum as well has indicated that they intend to continue with their scheduled drilling program in the province. Mr. Speaker, as well, there will be bids again that will be submitted for offshore parcels that we're hoping that companies will see the value in investing in our offshore. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Those projects, while exciting, are obviously years away. And our offshore natural gas supply is on decline today. And so far, there seems to be no plan to replace it. We have several LNG export projects proposed for Nova Scotia, and these are multi-billion-dollar projects, and they need a supply of natural gas to make sure they go forward. So my question for the minister is, how does the minister plan to help these companies secure natural gas supplies so we receive their much-needed investment?
Honourable Minister of Energy.
Speaker, the Department of Energy is extremely supportive of all of our companies, especially the LNG projects that he has made reference to. We continue to facilitate discussions that are taking place, especially along the eastern U.S. seaboard, where there is an ample supply of gas. There's a bit of an issue with distribution right now. We are excited by the opportunity that this might provide a supply base to Nova Scotia so that the LNG terminals that have been proposed can proceed. This is an exciting opportunity. One of the sites is the Bearhead site in Point Tupper in my own constituency, along with some projects proposed in Guysborough as well. Again, we'll certainly continue to attend a number of the conferences that are held and work directly with the industry to support these Nova Scotia projects.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question through you is to the Minister of Health. According to the IWK, Nova Scotia children spend almost 5 hours a day in front of a screen, and less than 50% of children and youth get the daily recommended amount of exercise. And I'll table that. Too much screen time is linked to many problems, including attention and learning problems, unhealthy body weight, and type 2 diabetes. And yesterday, the McNeil Liberals cut the healthy tax credit, the healthy living tax credit, leaving families with no provincial relief on the cost of sport and recreation. So my question is to the minister, what does he think of the government's decision to make it even more difficult for children and youth to get the recommended exercise that they so dearly need?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and pleased that the member opposite asked that question. It's a very important one to our government and this Minister of Health. That particular program was getting a very, very small pickup. We will be engaged in another program that I think will make a big difference in our school system. I'm sure the member opposite now sees that we're moving back to strong participation ads, and that's to engage not just the children, but also the entire family in a more active lifestyle.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
You know, also, Mr. Speaker, according to the Childhood Obesity Foundation, there's significant improvement in both physical and mental health when children and teenagers obtain their required level of activity. There are many families struggling and varying degrees of mental health concerns and worries as well. You know, and the sneaky part of this is, too, is that many people are working on their 2014 taxes and really won't be looking at this tax credit and realizing it's gone until next year, when it's far too late. So my question to the minister, does he stand by government's decision to get rid of the healthy tax, the healthy living tax credit, and make it more difficult to receive that physical activity that they need?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Please, the member for Argyle Barrington brought this very important question to the floor of the Assembly. He knows that we're a government very dedicated to improving fitness and well-being of all Nova Scotians. This was one of those tax areas that, unfortunately, was not available, again, to lower-income Nova Scotians. We are taking, putting this now into a place where we will need to re-examine and make sure that it spreads right across our population to get the desired benefit. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Finance. I'm going to begin with some words from the now Minister of Agriculture from way back in May 2013. At that time, the Minister Minister of Agriculture pointed out that bracket creep makes a huge difference to people's personal income tax and drives people out of the province. He went on to say at the time that the NDP was hoping that nobody really looked at the numbers and sees what's going on here, because they're talking about a huge increase in personal income taxes. And now Minister of Agriculture was pretty concerned about bracket creep back then. So my question for the Minister is, does the Minister of Finance agree with her Cabinet colleague's opinion that by not addressing bracket creep, the McNeill government saddled Nova Scotians with a huge increase in personal income taxes?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I think it's important to have a little history lesson, because the reason we have bracket creep is because under the leadership of the Premier Hamm, he decoupled our tax rate increases and credits from the federal ones. That's how it began, and it has increased year after year after year. So, Mr. Speaker, perhaps that's long enough for the first answer.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, a little history lesson is always valuable, and especially if we're going to use history to make decisions today. Because, Mr. Speaker, the Liberal budget includes $30 million of bracket creep hidden in a schedule. And I want to remind the Minister of Finance of some of the now Minister of Health's words when he was also pretty concerned about bracket creep, a ways back in November 2012, when he said not dealing with bracket creep means the NDP have been very accepting of the natural bracket movement that allows for additional tax increase year over year. The McNeill government has made the same decision today. It's $30 million of additional tax. So my question for the Minister of Finance, does the Minister of Finance share the concern of her Cabinet colleague, the Minister of Health, or does she agree with the NDP that we should just let bracket creep continue?
The Honourable Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think this is very interesting, because the member opposite is quite mixed up. Bracket creep is about not being linked to other rates as we are with the federal government. What he's talking about here is closing a loophole. And I believe you're referring to the non-eligible dividend tax credit, because that is $30 million, and that's closing a tax loophole. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
To the Minister of Business, I'd like to read a line from the defunct Liberal platform. Under the heading, "Keep our best and brightest here in Nova Scotia," the platform reads, "Businesses need workers and recent graduates, and skilled workers need experience." And I'll table that. Yesterday, we saw again how empty those words were back in 2013. In yesterday's budget, the government hit a new low when it fired 320 of its employees and blamed our workforce for the province's deficit. So my question, can the minister explain how on the one hand he expects to retain new graduates, while on the other hand the McNeill government keeps eliminating the programs and people that keep young people here?
The Honourable Minister of Business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's quite clear over time that the economic development strategy of the province has been broken. And the objective of the new department going forward, Mr. Speaker, is to provide strategic advice and guidance to ensure that our private sector, who will have the support of government, creating an environment where we can allow business to do what business has asked us to do, get out of the way, and allow business to create jobs and secure employment for Nova Scotians.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's on her final supplementary.
Thank you to the Minister for his answer. Since 2008, rural Nova Scotia communities have been hit especially hard by the global economic downturn. But through it all, the workers in our public service have been there during the hardest of times, finding solutions to keep people working and paying the bills. Yesterday, the now Minister of Energy gutted the very department that kept 1,400 families working in his own backyard during one of the biggest crises Port Hawkesbury has ever faced. So my question is actually to the Minister of Energy. What does now the Minister of Energy have to say to the people he fired yesterday, the same people who kept the biggest employer in his constituency from becoming an empty shell of a factory?
The Honourable Minister of Energy.
Well, Mr. Speaker, first of all, the member very well knows that that's a question better put to the Minister of Business. But let me say this, Mr. Speaker. We truly value those who work in the public service. Mr. Speaker, one of the most difficult parts of being in government is making decisions that can have an impact on people's livelihood and have impact on their employment. I had the privilege to work with the staff over at Economic Rural Development and Tourism. They were dedicated Nova Scotians working for the best interest of our province. But, Mr. Speaker, we can't keep doing the same things and expecting different results. The Premier has made it clear. Nova Scotians need to move forward with new direction. We need to find new ways of being able to get better results. That was what the decision was yesterday. As painful as it was, we look forward to having all employees in the public service join us in moving our province forward.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question through you is for the Minister of TIR. The English Town Ferry is out of service time and again and again and again. And people who live north of Englishtown in Victoria County have become frustrated, Mr. Speaker. Half of Victoria County's population live north of the Englishtown Ferry, and the economy faces hardship when the ferry is not operational. One example is that stores are out of supplies when the ferry is not running because delivery trucks are hesitant to drive the extra 45 minutes around St. Anne's Bay. So my question to the Minister is, what does the Minister say to small business people whose businesses are being compromised because the ferry is so frequently out of operation?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reality is with the Englishtown Channel, there's significant ice flows both coming in from the ocean and coming out from the lakes. And the reality is that it's a cable ferry, Mr. Speaker. It doesn't have an engine. It operates on cable entirely. So if that cable breaks, if we have some kind of malfunction when the ice is moving, we put lives at risk, we put our infrastructure at risk. It's a very dangerous situation. We certainly understand those frustrations, no question, but it's first and foremost, it's about the safety of the vessel, the safety of our staff, and the safety of the people who use the vessel. We're looking at reviewing the entire system and the entire operation in Englishtown, thanks to the member from Victoria of the Lakes who had that idea. We're also going to look at upgrades to the road. We know that's an important roadway, and we're going to continue to make improvements as best we can.
Thank you. The Honourable Member for Sydney River, Myra Lewisburg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I want to thank the Minister for that answer, even though he's not completely correct. Mr. Speaker, jobs are scarce enough in rural Cape Breton, and poor service increased rates make it tougher for people who live north of Englishtown. So my question to the Minister will be, it's quite simple. Will the Minister assure the residents north of Englishtown that access to their community is a priority for his department?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Absolutely, Mr. Speaker. Look, the reality is with the fare changes, we did what we thought was fair for all Nova Scotians, including those who use the service. We had to close that gap between the overall cost of the services across the entire province with the revenues that we collect. We will continue for the people of Englishtown and for all of our seven operations for the ferries in Nova Scotia to look at ways we can make improvements, increase safety, and increase the mobility. That's what we're here to do, Mr. Speaker, and we'll use all stakeholders in the communities to help us make that happen. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of TIR. Mr. Speaker, with the transfer of the Nova Star responsibility to TIR, we now have new questions about how this project will be managed, including the transparency of how the money will be dispersed. My question, Mr. Speaker, for the Minister is, how does the Minister plan to provide transparent reporting of the money provided to Nova Star?
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member for the question. First and foremost, with respect to the $13 million which was committed by our government this year, it will exist and be available on the website, so all Nova Scotians, including the opposition, can see exactly where the money is flowing, when it's flowing, Mr. Speaker. That is the commitment we'll continue to make. In terms of transparency and next steps, our department's now arranging meetings with the Governor of Maine, with officials in Yarmouth, of course, with the help of the MLA from Yarmouth. We're going to talk to Mayor Pam Mood. We're going to have conversations with many people in the industry. We're going to talk to the Novastar folks. I'm going to have conversations with each and every person that's impacted by this that can help us pull this service forward and make sure we sustain it for the long term.
The Honourable Member for Kings North on his final supplementary.
I'd like to thank you, thank the Minister for that answer to the question, Mr. Speaker, and certainly hope that turns out as stated. In regard to the $13 million, I have a specific question. It was announced in February that $13 million would be provided to Novastar this year. So far, we understand $4 million has provided under the former Department of ERDT. In the budget estimates, it says $8 million will be provided to Novastar this year, and I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. My question for the Minister, is the government now expecting to provide the company $1 million less than announced two months ago, seeing how 4 plus 8 equals $12 million? That's my question.
The Honourable Minister of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The way that the money is going to flow to the Novastar officials for the vessel is very specific. There are deliverables. It's stage-gated. So at this point, we collected the aid under our department with TIR. That's why that line item's there. The member's right. It leaves five. Four has been paid to Novastar operators, so they have that. The additional $1 million is held in Treasury based on some of the specific requirements and deliverables that Novastar has. So that $1 million is held in Treasury, and when those deliverables are met, the money will flow to the Novastar operators. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, thank you very much for my questions now. Mr. Speaker, DHX President Michael Donovan is quoted in All Nova Scotia as saying every single show, Trailer Park Boys, This Hour Has 22 Minutes, will have to leave the province. And all of DHX's animation shows as well. He added that incentives in Vancouver now are better than the ones here in Halifax. So, Mr. Speaker, the Trailer Park Boys production has done so much for the economy in Colchester County. The question is, what steps will the Premier take to ensure that he saves Sunnyvale?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I want to remind the Honourable Member that the film tax credit is still in place in this province, Mr. Speaker. Again, I want to remind the Honourable Member, 25% of that is given directly, Mr. Speaker, to the producer to take to the bank, to take a lending institution, to capitalize the project. And, Mr. Speaker, the remaining 75% is a true tax credit, which is applied against the taxes paid in this province. Why is it so hard to believe that Nova Scotians should expect that taxes be paid in this province, Mr. Speaker? It is their money that is being used. They should expect that the taxes be paid in this province.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, my answer to the Premier on that is the taxes are paid in this province, and every single one of these people in the creative industry are living here and paying taxes. That's why they've started a whole lobby thing saying we pay taxes too. They also have a huge economic spin-off in this province. So my next question for the Premier is, I've heard him saying over and over again that you cannot keep the status quo. But my question, Mr. Speaker, is the status quo is what used to be here in Nova Scotia, and the creative economy is something new that was just starting to build. So how can he justify going back to what was the status quo instead of moving forward?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for her question. I want to remind her, Mr. Speaker, that the film tax credit is in place. I'm sure she would know that in order to qualify for that film tax credit, Mr. Speaker, only 25% of that production crew actually has to be in Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure she recognizes that in residence here, Mr. Speaker. And again, I want to remind the Honourable Member, she stands in this House and talks about the taxes are being paid and companies are putting the amount of taxes they're paying on the table, Mr. Speaker, and we appreciate that. I encourage her then to ask them to put on the table how much money are they getting from the taxpayers of Nova Scotia directly from this tax credit.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musqueam Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Community Services. I was talking to Marion McDonald, who is a registered counseling therapist living in my community. She often receives requests to provide counseling from the Department of Community Services. She has traveled all over the northern region of the province. She takes her own vehicle and takes time from her normal work. The department's policy says that travel in excess of 100 kilometres will be paid for at a 50% rate of her hourly wage. Is the minister aware of this policy, and is there any plans to change it?
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
Thank you. I am aware of most of the travel policies within my own department. I'm not sure what the question was in terms of... I'm not going to change it, no. It's a fair policy. It's in line, certainly, with the private sector, the nonprofit sector, and other government departments as well when it comes to travel policy.
The Honourable Member for Colchester, Musquodoboit Valley.
The thing is that Marion McDonald does not want to turn down these clients who really need that kind of care. And she is asking about the compensation and if that compensation can be better than what it is now.
The Honourable Minister of Community Services.
I absolutely appreciate the service providers that do provide contracted services for our clients, but we are not in a position to pad that any more than what's available to every other person and in the nonprofit, private sector, and other government departments.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Business. Yesterday, in the budget, the Minister of Finance did not mention small business, and our small businesses pay among the highest taxes in the country and are major job creators. Before the last election, the Premier said it is time for Nova Scotians to have a provincial government that recognizes hardworking Nova Scotians and small businesses are the backbone of our economy, and I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. My question for the Minister is this. When will this government stand by those words and recognize that maintaining high taxes for small business hurts all Nova Scotians?
The Honourable Minister of Business with 7 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to run out of time here. I don't think I'm going to get a chance to answer.
Order, please. Time allotted for oral questions by members to ministers has expired. The Honourable Government House Leader. The Honourable Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to table a document that was requested by the member from Sydney River, Meyer Lewisburg, on April 17th regarding a number of bridges in Nova Scotia. So I think with the consent of the House, could I be permitted to table this information on the Melanson, Crowdis, Whitman, Gillis, and Leonard Bridge?
Is it agreed? It is agreed. Report is tabled. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Speaker, I move that you now leave the chair and the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole on supply.
The House will now resolve itself. Motion carried. The House will now resolve itself into the committee of whole House on supply and will recess for